My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Watch Out for Fireballs. It is a Games Club podcast.
And this week we're talking about Cryptmaster, which is a dungeon crawler developed by Paul Hart and Lee Williams and published for the PC and consoles by Akupara Games in 2024.
Yeah, this is a Gary pick.
Mm-hmm.
I picked it.
You picked it for the vibes.
For the vibes. Is it a horror game? No.
No.
I mean, it's not scary.
No.
But, you know.
It's not trying to be either.
It's got ghouls. There's ghouls in it.
It's got ghouls. You're playing as dead people. Yeah.
There's creepy corpses and bugs.
Yeah. There's going around. It's fine.
Yeah, you go around like a horror game.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I haven't played anything like this.
Yeah. This is adorable and also, to my mind, unique. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really good. Mm-hmm. I had only heard of it.
Yeah.
This was just on my list of things I wanted to check out. And I had that, the podcaster's dilemma of, I would like to play this, but what if I could play it for work? and that's kind of how it popped up. It's real good.
Yeah.
Also, we're going to spoil mechanical surprises. There aren't really narrative surprises in this.
Yeah.
I think it's probably okay to hear that spoiled, even though if it does sound like your shit, there are surprises that will make it more your shit.
Yes. Yeah. It's one of these things where you can't really talk an awful lot of detail about it, because this is just like a huge collection of word games with very canny delivery systems. So there are some like mechanical delights to things that show up, but like talking about it in specific would just be us reading off riddles and stuff.
Yeah. It's going to make us sound like idiots.
Yeah.
It's a puzzle word game. Uh-huh. More than anything, but it's just a really interesting hybrid.
Yeah.
You are four ancient heroes. You've been awakened by the Cryptmaster in order to journey up to the surface, and the undead are forbidden to go to the surface.
Right.
This is a blobber.
Mm-hmm.
This is a first-person dungeon crawler in terms of movement and combat, even though combat is also done with word puzzles and typing.
Yes. Except for movement and like running into stuff. Everything that you do, all of your interactions are handled by typing stuff out.
Yes. And it does the trick of knowing a lot of words. it incorporates a lot of words. The Cryptmaster himself, we'll talk about production stuff. Bravura voice performance.
Mm-hmm.
We'll recognize stuff you say.
Yeah.
It's real fun. It has a little bit of that Scribblenauts appeal where you say random shit and then the Cryptmaster repeats it back to you and says something about it.
Yeah. I type jump and he says, no, don't do that unless I tell you. It's hell on your knees.
Yeah. You're dead. You don't want to jump.
Yeah.
So you go around typing to interface with the world, and they give you a lot of different ways to interface through words.
Yes. It just feels like they decided everything needs to be words and then found every single opportunity they could to do something to do something new and creative with it.
Yeah. And many times, word games as it already exist,
mm-hmm.
We'll talk about the different kind of word games that are contained within this. Cryptmaster didn't invent riddles or hangman.
No,
but I've never seen it gamified like this.
No, it's never been meted out in this particular packaging. Yeah. So when I say like, oh, it's finding ways to do new stuff, like it finds a new word game to put into a place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you have NPC conversations, you do this by typing a single word into the parser. Mm-hmm. And NPCs are very responsive to you. The reason why you're saying single words is because you're zombies.
Yeah.
You can only squeak out one word. It's very clever.
Yeah. And like the only mandatory response, thing you need to say to like the leaders of the different places you go is up. Like, what do you want to talk about? Up.
Yeah. And then if you say up, you want to get up. Yeah. But like in everything that you type, your character will say as well, which is very fun.
Yeah. So there are some like environmental obstacles that you need to get around or through by typing the right word to bypass them. Things like, you duck into a tunnel. But a lot of the dungeon crawling stuff that you do is battles, which are real time. You encounter one particular, you encounter one enemy at a time, and your enemy's health and your health are determined by the length of your names.
Yeah. And it is real time is the recommended way to play. There is a turn-based mode for this that it told me to play real time. I did, but I fucked around with it a little bit on turn-based to see what it was like.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It seems like it would obviate the difficulty because it would be, like a non-ATB kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it actually shows the enemies like cooldown timers when they're going to attack. It's actually pretty strategic in that respect, as opposed to kind of frantic.
You have a lot of options. Like when you're playing it in real time, like, you do everything by typing out the name of the ability. You know, like the difficulty was not in the typing. The difficulty was in remembering like what the individual things are. You can pause and see like a menu of all of your abilities, like with descriptions, but like not just falling into hit, jab, zap. I guess was a constant effort for me.
When you they kind of obviate each other as you get new abilities.
Yeah.
This one is strictly better, So your party is like a D&D group, as appropriate for being zombies of dead heroes. Mm-hmm. And they have classes and specializations in the moves they learn. So we have Joro, who is our warrior, does direct damage. He breaks armor and he can do knockdown. Most of the characters end up doing knockdown. This is a Gary Sicko turn denial.
Yeah.
Game in terms of combat. In a very, very abstract way.
Yes. It doesn't like reset their cooldown timer. It pauses it. Yeah. So it's a great way to like give yourself just a little bit of extra time.
Yeah. And you can reset it with other abilities as well. Sin, who is our thief, an assassin, who has the murder skill. And then there are a lot of things that stack damage on top of it.
So things she can do. Up. Yeah. Things she can do and things other characters can do.
Yeah, to kind of build her up. She can also leave traps on the floor and has ranged weapons.
Yeah. When I realized what those did, like, the trap isn't just a, it's not just a, like a direct damage kind of thing. Like, oh shit, I can just type that anytime. And I just throw out a bear trap or I can throw out a dart. Yeah. You have Maz, who is a bard who specializes in support buffs, debuffs, and healing. He is the one who will soothe your party.
You'll hear him go soothe a lot through this. And there's a lot of crossover in these abilities. Like other characters can soothe as well. If you're listening, you're doing this vicariously. You heard that their HP is the number of letters in their name. These are short names.
Yeah.
And you have Nyx, who is our mage, but is a sea witch. By which, like, summons crabs and shit, like a pile of crabs or a pile of salmon.
One of my most powerful attacks, like, for the entire, like, back half of the game was urchins. And splashes a bunch of urchin water just on
throws
them.
A bunch of urchins at people. And so she has a lot of summoning spells. She's the one who can reset cooldowns. Mm-hmm. And then she has spells based on the letters in an enemy's name. So she can say puppet, and it'll do one damage for each P in the enemy's name.
Yeah. Huge damage potential, especially for like different enemy types. Not going to be like good for knights who might have like one or two P's in their name, but you'll come across like slimes whose name is like Popotamus Pox or something. It's like so many P's, take that guy out.
Enemies have their names and HP set up the same way, basically. Yes. So you get that name and you'll work from the end of the name to the beginning.
Right. Stopping occasionally for a little armor. Like if there's a space in the name, it'll be a little shield that you have to use a special attack to break.
Yeah. Yeah. This is not just a typing test game. You know, you have time between enemy attacks to put in your command. You can go to turn-based mode. You know, it plays very differently. It's either exceedingly frantic.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you have time, but you still have to move pretty quick because you don't have very much HP.
Yeah.
Or it becomes this kind of strategy math game in the turn-based mode.
Both work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your abilities are powered by souls. You gain these by completing tasks. There's also, it also acts as your money. And if you're down to, you know, the dregs, you can kind of constantly feed this by, harvesting bugs and catching fish.
Yes. This is, your very basic attacks don't take souls. Your other abilities do. So that is why you don't just use the strictly better ones forever. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There. I kept feeling a little bit through this game that it expected me to have more souls than I did.
Yeah.
There were things for sale that I couldn't really afford.
It was like hundreds of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Like something I was doing wrong. I don't know what.
Mm-hmm. Probably not playing enough of the card game.
I played a lot of the card game. I think I was healing too much. I think I just like wasn't good enough at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also my desire to stay topped off in video games. Mm-hmm. Bugs and fish that you do, these are ingredients for the way that you catch them is by typing them, which is real fun. You find a bug, there's this whole little crew of critters, and then fish, you type the name of the fish and you have a little fishing mini game where you can pull one letter specifically from it. We'll talk about what letters do.
Yes.
Bug and fish are also used for alchemy. You can make potions. You have the name of the potion, you harvest letters from the fish or the bugs to spell the name of the potion.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on potions. Which is also a mistake I made. They're really, really good.
Yes.
And they work like Dark Souls. You can have one of any individual potion with you. It doesn't refill on its own, but you can only have the one slot. All the ones I found were very powerful.
Yeah. The most powerful of them required Vs, and almost no ingredients had Vs in the name.
You gotta get that love bug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that love bug. But.
Love the love bug. Yeah. Yeah, you definitely want to use those. It was basically learning how to use the potions and remembering that teleportation is free.
Yes.
You know, so I could just like go to an altar and heal and revive without using souls that helped me, you know, afford, I mean, mostly just the story required things.
Yeah, I could afford the story required things for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I just, I went to the shop and like $400 for this card. Mm-hmm. And like, well, we'll talk about the card game, but it's like $400.
So we talked about harvesting letters. That is for character progression. Your party has been dead for so long that they've lost all of their memories. And as you encounter letters, they fill in a particular word that they are trying to remember. This is always present. It is right by their character portrait at the bottom of the screen. And as you grab letters that are in the names of the memories they're trying to recall, they fill out, and you can guess them. You don't need to find all of the letters in order to say what the word is. Think Hangman or Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah. If you're any kind of word wonk, it's fun. The verb ones you can usually guess because they're verbs.
Yeah.
The memories can be of anything.
Yeah. But also like they follow on themes and stuff.
Yeah. Once you start kind of learning the story
of
what happened to these characters. Through that. Getting new verbs, every time you do that, you get a whole new ability. Very satisfying. Yeah. And when you get memories, this is how you level up.
Yeah.
Through this. And you get these from either fishing, doing any battle. You get to choose a certain number. You have undead fingers. You get to choose a certain number of letters from the enemy's name to harvest. You can kind of look, you know, I have plenty of A's. I'm going to try this half of the
word. Like, oh, I'm not going to use the back half of this because that's a bunch of S's. Like, it's just repeated. Repeated letters don't give you any benefit, right?
Yeah. Once you get to certain memory thresholds, you level up. And you do this by adding a letter to your name. Mm-hmm. This is great. This increases your health, obviously. You can do whatever you like and it will pronounce it. Uh-huh. This is how you get people fucking named Jimp. Like, or your name is like Jim, but with a P. And then the Crypt Master is not going to call you that.
Yeah.
I'm Jorox.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I'm stupid. I'm not calling you that. My grandson Jody. but important because you don't have very much HP.
Yeah,
doing those level ups.
Yes.
There's a couple other word games that you do for this all to get letters, chest and talking skulls. Mm-hmm. Where you play two different games.
Yes.
For this. One of which, again, I've also not seen in like a video game before.
I've only ever seen, okay, so which is the one that you have? I mean, it's the chess, the, right?
Yeah, the chess one.
Yeah, the 20 questions one. I've only seen that in a little handheld game.
Yeah, yeah, like an Akinator thing, or like, you know, yeah, like one of those, but it's not exactly the same. So like you open up a chest, the Cryptmaster looks at an item and he says, ooh, I don't know about this one. And you tell the Cryptmaster things to do with it, and he describes it. He can't just tell you what it is.
No.
You tell him which senses to use.
Yes.
On it.
And you can be, like, it is more wide-ranging than you would think. So there's stuff like look, feel, taste. Man, definitely got him to taste a bedpan, which was fun.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, use, break, like you can, any verb you can think of.
Yeah,
you know, smash. Because it's very reactionary, smash. Yeah. This never got old for me.
Nope.
I love this. I like just an entire game of like, what is this?
Yeah.
From this character with the reactivity of the voice, I could do this all fucking day.
Yeah, like, yeah. I just, God, just the amount of writing that had to go into each and every one of these objects. And like the clues are also like very good, kind of like misdirects too. You know, just like they're kind of designed to make you overthink it.
Yes. So, you know, like a small little boat with a long handle on it is a spoon. Mm-hmm. I've never really considered that, but yeah.
Yeah.
You fucking got me. You're speaking truth. That's spoon.
Yeah. It's kind of cross-shaped. Well, it's a sword. They've got the pommel. Yeah.
Yeah. It is cross-shaped. You know, it's great. And then all you get from this is the letter. You don't get the object. You don't need the object.
No, you don't have an inventory. Yeah.
When you talk to a skull, it poses a riddle. And these are just riddles.
Yeah.
I also love riddles.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very made for Gary word game.
Yeah. And, you know, what is the word you always spell incorrectly? Incorrectly.
Yeah. Incorrectly. Yeah. These little clever puzzles. Later, there are also some kind of cryptic crossword bits.
Yeah.
There are tombstones that are cryptic crosswords. I am fucking terrible at those.
Oh my God. Yeah. I saw those and I had to go and look up if those were mandatory at all. Cause
I had no idea what they fucking wanted. Like I had to look them up to see what they were doing with them. And I was like, okay. And I've fucked around a little bit with cryptic crossword stuff, like lives into it. If you don't know what that is, they're riddles with extra steps.
Yeah. So it's a crossword, but the clue is actually its own little puzzle that often has to do with like word and text manipulation.
Yeah. So if somebody is like, you know, mixed up money, like they could be the word cash scrambled.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of thing. Like they do things like that. They give you a clue to the actual thing. And then there's also a big metal puzzle that just recently got solved. And it was a cache in real life. Like it was one of those things where you go find a doodad.
Sweet. Yeah. Now, like then you get to that higher level, like extremely riff coded stuff. And it's like, have fun.
Yeah. I was thinking about that too. I was like, man, I gotta get riff into this.
It's the most asymmetric coded game I've ever played. It was not one of theirs.
Yes. Yeah. And funny too.
Yep.
Which would make sense.
Yeah.
So there's lots of things you can do to make this kind of faster or easier, you know. You can do things like enable hints. You can make for the riddles, like you can make it turn on or off if the Cryptmaster will just solve it for you.
Yeah.
You get to choose how many letters you get to take after for XP. I recommend up in that.
It just reduces the amount of grinding you have to do.
That's what it feels like to me. You know, and gives you a few more letters to look at for unscrambling your words, but like, I don't know, I want to level up a little bit faster.
Yeah. That's going from 3 to 4 is, you know, enough to make a big difference.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
The developers had a joke. They said, you know, this wouldn't be an RPG without a fishing mini game and a card game. Mm-hmm. And the fishing mini game there's not anything really to it, but they made a pretty good card game in this.
They made a pretty good card game. This feels new to me. Like we said, oh, there's not really anything new here. I've not seen anything that is, you know, that is like this. It's not incredibly intricate, but it is also playing a trading card game with letters.
Yeah. Yep. It's called Whatever is the name of the game. You have a random deck, or you have a deck that you draw from randomly. You can build from it. You draw monster cards and they have a bunch of Scrabble letters. on them, or they have their names. And then you have a big line of Scrabble letters, and you choose two grouped letters. If they match the names of the monsters on your cards, they'll do a little bit of damage. And when you complete a monster's name, they'll do a special action and you get a new card. And there's tons of these, and there's a weird amount of like deck building to it. Mm-hmm. O decks are really powerful.
Okay. Like, yeah.
You know, Trollo is the meta.
Yeah. Okay.
O is the meta. Mm-hmm. That is how I didn't beat the tournament. I got really close several times.
Yeah.
And I just kind of ran out of time. But like, there's a card tournament that's just a side thing, and you get to go fight a guy who's like the boss of cards. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to fight him. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Tried.
I admit that I was kind of on under the wire on this one.
Yeah.
So I played it. I played it enough to understand it, but like I can only get like to the third fight in the big tournament just because I had not really gathered powerful cards.
Yeah. And a lot of the powerful cards come from those cryptic crossword.
Yes.
Dealies. Almost everyone will play cards with you.
Mm-hmm.
If you can talk to them, that's how you get a bunch of rare cards. It's got a little bit of that triple triad.
Yeah.
You know, this person is gambling with the card with their name on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know. I dig it. Mm-hmm. This is a short game. Probably about like what, 8 hours, something like that. Yeah. There are five chapters to it, but the first and last chapter are small. You have like three kind of hub areas that you're working through on your way up to the surface. Each of them has kind of like a wilderness and then some dungeons kind of around them. And as I said earlier, you can easily fast travel by typing the name of a location that you have been to. I would call this a very good introduction to Grimrock-like exploration.
Yeah. There's not as much... The environments, you know, we'll talk about aesthetics in this. The environments don't have tons of detail you interface with other than bugs and fish.
Yeah.
So it gets you used to moving around with it, but you end up paying less attention than you do in Grimrock because there aren't as many puzzles and such.
Yeah.
It's like kind of a Grimrock light in that respect.
Yeah.
But it's also, that's the thing the combat most reminded me of. Like you're typing words instead of choosing your commands, but it felt a lot like Grimrock.
Very much so.
Yeah. Let's talk about aesthetics. This game looks good.
Boy, this game looks really good. They have everything is kind of textured with these high contrast black and white line art textures. My closest reference for this, like the first time I saw this in a game, was Moondawn, horror game set in the Swiss Alps. It's very good, but it's all over the place here. The character design is all done in this. Like they're all very varied and entertaining. And I just love the atmosphere of this quite a bit. Yeah.
And grotesque.
Yes.
Like they're like very detailed. There's a little bit of this that reminded me of line art versions of Ren and Stimpy close-ups.
Yeah.
You know, the bard you run to has the really kind of gross Mad Magazine making fun of a politician you never heard of, because you got Mad Magazine too early. kind of face.
Yeah.
The soundtrack's really good.
Oh my God.
You know, there's instrumental tracks, some of which are very funny. It does a thing that the Schitt's Creek music does as well, where we thought this would be good music for a baby elephant sneaking out of a well, but we just decided to use it. So every once in a while, there's like a burp, 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 you know, kind of things that are not quite atmospheric that sound a little bit silly.
Yeah.
But are generally really good. Lots of earworms.
So many earworms. I've had the track called Ulara. It's what plays when you're in the tower in Pantry in the third chapter. That kind of like start and stop harpsichord kind of thing.
Yeah.
With a weird little like lo-fi hip hop beat to it. It's really good.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
The writing in this game is very simple. You know, the world lore, it is meant to be a kind of standard fantasy world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's very funny. Like the actual story of what happens here, nothing's really going on. The characters you interact with are funny. The individual moment-to-moment writing is very funny.
Mm-hmm.
In the kind of silly fantasy, like a Discworld, almost thing, like the way the rats work in this is like working class, you know, guys. It reminds me of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, all awards, you know, in terms of games that are primarily narrated by one guy, got to give it up to the Cryptmaster.
God, this is such a good character. We kind of really joked. He's doing something kind of adjacent to a Vincent Price on it. And like he has like a real character to him, like nothing cohesive that I could compare to anything, but like he has all these like, you know, preferences and tics. I love that he fucking hates chickens.
Yeah. he's a fussy little bitch.
Yes.
In the best possible way.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a little bit of Shore Leave, like Vincent Price by way of Shore Leave, and Vincent Price always had kind of a fussy little bitch mannerism to him. Like, yeah, my constant companion, Raoul, you know, it's kind of like,
yeah,
that is just endlessly charismatic.
Just, you know, just that kind of just, you know, almost like heavily affected, like lochness.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, no, if you just want to do it, you just have to in front of something. And then you start the line read.
I want to make a GPS that has the Crypt Master voice. And like you go to a dead end and you're skulking. Stop, you're skulking. You can stomp it.
God, every time you go into a corner.
Yeah. It's very, it's funny. It's a joke. Like they knew that you're a video game person. You're going to go into corners to look for shit.
Yeah.
He's like, stop skulking. Like you're zombies. You keep skulking.
Yeah. Do you have to lurk?
Yeah. It's really good. Like the idea of somebody like lurking or skulking being a thing that you do, like you can recognize.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that guy's fucking lurking.
Their social media is done in character as the Crypt Master. I said something very nice about this game on Blue Sky, and I got a little video response of him saying, thank you.
I fucking love it. It makes me want to replay the game, even though there's nothing really for me to replay other than like grind up that card game.
Yeah.
Like just to hang out with the Crypt Master more.
it's just one of the developers.
Lee Williams.
Yeah. Wow. Incredibly good performance, incredibly well written.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about the development.
Yeah.
I pulled some details from game developer PS4 blog and Point and Think talking about this. The development took about 3 years. I got that wrong in the notes there. And it started just when these two veteran indie developers, Lee Williams and Paul Hart, decided to team up with each other. I think Williams was going around saying, like, I've got some time. I'll do some writing for an indie game for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they wanted to make a word game. The earliest concept, they had you managing a pirate ship and you shot words out of sentences to change their meaning.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of interesting. A counterfeit monkey kind of thing.
Yeah, counterfeit monkey kind of thing. That's like with letters, but it was a similar kind of idea.
Yeah.
But that this wouldn't be the basis for the whole game. They stumbled upon this idea of doing everything by typing.
Yes.
Like, what is a game if all you do is type? Mm-hmm. And those ideas kind of filled out the rest of the game.
Yeah. What is a game if all you do is type? A lot of things. And they talk about this just like it was like pulling magician's handkerchief out of a hat. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, just idea factory. Mm-hmm. They couldn't really stick with that pirate theme, you know, so they shifted it to a broader kind of fantasy dungeon crawl setting through this. And they initially, I think this is a really good change, they wanted the Crypt Master to be much more antagonistic.
Yeah. You know, it would have been a jump scare.
Yeah, would have popped up at you. I think this game lives or dies based on affection that I have for the Crypt Master.
Yeah, it's really the X factor on this.
Yeah. Like, just a absolutely commanding performance.
Mm-hmm.
I want to like him. He's my buddy.
So, you know, we got the Crypt Master we got and some of the puzzles we got for a good reason. It's because the developers are huge fans of the British children's game show Nightmare, which we have done an episode of Adaptation Decay about.
And is a miracle.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, if you're not familiar, like, everything we got in America that was like a game-adjacent show.
Mm-hmm.
I have affection for it. Not turning my nose up at Nick Arcade, but like it's nothing compared to Nightmare, to these like weird British things that are very serious.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Standing, if you don't listen to Adaptation Decay, which you might not, because you know you might not be that Patreon level, standing call to tell us about that stuff.
Yes, please. If you, similar to Nightmare or anything similar to an American video game or game-based show that we have talked about. It's hard to find those.
Yeah. And, you know, we didn't grow up with them. If you grew up with a different one we don't know about, we want to know about it. Even if it's shitty like the Australian one.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Even if it's not super great, they're still fun.
Yeah. But they, you know, they like it so much. They even got the voice of the main guy of Traegard, Hugo Myatt, to do the game's narration and to voice a character, kind of an exposition dump guy.
Mm-hmm. The Cryptomaster himself is very responsive, and in on a long enough timeline, this kind of bullshit would be done with AI. Mm-hmm. And instead of cheating, they just did it with a lot of work.
They just brute forced it. They Google Maps'd it.
Yeah, good. Like, yeah. Like I, you know, they basically recorded a dictionary's worth of words for this. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to hear AI.
Nope.
I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather just have them do the work. I appreciate it. I'm happy to buy their game.
Yeah, absolutely. Although it did mean that this was almost surely never going to turn a profit.
No, like that's an insane amount of labor.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, it is a small team doing, making the game themselves. Like, you know, if anyone's being exploited, they're exploiting themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So this was released to a pretty good reception. It got a 77 on Metacritic, which feels low to me.
Mm-hmm.
There are specific complaints about, you know, some of the depth of the systems, some of the repetition. But people generally agree that it's pretty neat.
It's a thing where the charm, you know, charm is the non-transferable. Watch out for fireballs. Currency is mm-hmm. at play here. There's also a thing, and this is true of all video games, but I was thinking about it a little bit with Silent Hill last week.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to say something that's going to sound profoundly simple and stupid, but I think it's an easy thing to forget, which is a prerequisite for liking a game is you got to like the things you do in the game.
Yep.
You know, like if this is just what the game's doing. Like if you want to do riddles and hangman puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
And this combat, this game is doing that.
Yeah.
If that just sounds like shit to you, though, you're not going to like it. There's nothing that's going to like convince you
mm-hmm.
about this. If you were down for what this is doing, that's extremely my shit. Those are the kind of word games I like. I like tactical blobber combat. It's extremely my shit.
Yeah.
The charm is icing on the cake. Even if the, you know, this wasn't as charming, though, you just do things that I like doing in this.
Yeah. You're one of the most riddle-pilled people.
I love riddles.
Yeah.
Has strong feelings about riddles. I think they're good. if you ask me a question, if you're just testing if I know something, that doesn't mm-hmm. do anything.
Right.
You know, sure, I memorized it. But if there's like a little hint in the question, then I get to use my brain.
Uh-huh.
You know, remembering isn't using your brain. That's just you remembered something.
I don't know about that, but
it's not. Yeah. Remembering things isn't smart.
Okay.
Coming up with the answer to something is smart.
Okay.
Having just like having a memorizing a list of things,
just
like,
kind of,
you know, your multiplication tables. Is that smart?
Just kind of seems like you're really prizing the things that you're good at over things that other people might be good at.
I'm specifically not prizing the things you're good at.
Yes.
Is what it is. The, no, you can also figure out riddles and stuff. Like you do intuitive.
Yeah.
Thought. But you know what I mean? Right.
Like, yeah.
If you just know the answer to a bunch of things, mm-hmm. like what are you, a book? That's not impressive. But like, you can just look things like in information literacy, you can just look shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares if somebody has something memorized? Like, you want them to have the intuitive leap. Like, you want them to have the, like, you know, the spark, the part that a human needs to be there for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and that's what riddles make me think of. There are tons of bullshit riddles. There's riddles where like it has multiple answers.
Yeah.
That sucks. That happens. Mm-hmm. And there are also standards. Like, it does, you there are some standard riddles you get in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're all sick of that riddle. But there are also some new ones,
mm-hmm.
you know, makes me feel smart in a way that being asked, you know, what signatures are on the Magna Carta doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, some old guys.
Wicks. Yeah. Some old guy. Who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Some old guys. You know what I care about?
He's dead as fuck.
Yeah. What starts with an N and ends in G, you know, starts with an N. Yeah. Like, that's what I care about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it seems like the game is not sold as well as the team hoped. Which is a bummer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they've continued supporting it. There have been post-release patches, adding things like voice control for accessibility, revamping the fourth chapter of the game. They added some things even since we started playing it. So the fairy, like the sprites.
Yeah, the anagrams. Yeah.
The anagram ones you fight are added to a recent patch. They were not a release game.
Huh. That seems so basic.
Yeah. An anagram seems like a really, and those are fun too. Like, rather than calling all those out, you run into a cloud of fairies, you can just fight them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something made, they have an anagram there, and there's something made of iron that'll scare them off. So it gives you a word scramble, and you just know the answer is made of iron.
Yeah. And the you know, the answer is made of iron. And this is a test of how well you have studied your arms and equipment guide. Because exactly. you have shit like claymores and caltrops in there.
Yeah. Claymores, caltrops, pauldrons, mm-hmm. you know, fetter.
Greaves. Yeah.
Greaves. Yeah. Let's get into it.
Let's. This is a short game.
And, yes. This will be quick. It's short, and you can't really talk about the individual combat bits. You can talk about new, you know, gimmicks as they pop up for new monsters, but like, there, it is short.
It starts repeating itself, which can be a mark against it. It would be more of a mark if the game is longer, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. The game is as long as it needs to be.
Yes. So you wake up, the Crypt Master wakes you up, and he kind of tutorializes the typing by having you gather the party by typing out their names. I thought these were just randos. I did not realize they were going to be like defined characters with histories mm-hmm. that you learn, not just from getting those memories, but also like people know who you are.
Yeah. If you're going to play this game, a fun thing to do, and this is a tooltip the game gives you, but say your name to NPCs.
Yeah.
Because they've heard of you. You're famous. Mm-hmm.
You're the Joro who?
Yeah. Yeah. And you are. mm-hmm. You just can't remember anything. All you can say now is hit. Boot. One of my favorite running jokes in this, you find this life altar occupied by this spirit named Ogda. Mm-hmm. And this heals people. You know, this would be in any kind of dungeon crawler. This would be your save point. Mm-hmm. But it won't heal you. You're undead. You have to desecrate it.
Yes.
And there's a lot of different ways to do it. And like, I oftentimes chose piss.
Yep.
To desecrate, and the critters go, yes, yeah. Soak it.
yeah, no, I like he normally is not into you typing profanity.
No.
He's like, oh, how immature. But like when you're desecrating an altar, you know, I was just like, I wonder if I can fuck it. He's like, yeah. Yes, go show those prudes.
Yeah, it's real good.
Yeah, no, I pissed on him. I tried my hardest not to repeat was the
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, because you want to get the new reactions.
Of course. Yeah. But we're going to be talking to Ogda. We're going to be running into her altars, and she's going to beg us not to destroy them every time.
Stop pissing on me.
Yeah. It's a save, like a save point, although the game does autosave and stuff. It's like a respawn point, basically, is what it is. Yeah.
And a full heal.
Yes. Yeah. To leave, you need to find the Cryptomaster's Soulstone. Which is nearby, and you have to feed it enough bugs to get enough power to leave. And the exit is guarded by a big door with an eye in it called an eye stone. These things are, you know, placed around, you know, trying to stop the undead from approaching the surface.
Yes. In this first one's real low security, it just gives you some tests like, oh, if you're undead, what was the last piece of fruit you ate?
If you're not dead.
Or not undead, rather.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Nick, describe a piece of fruit to me.
Yeah. And you just eat an apple. He's like, oh, yes, crispy. You know, it's kind of like he turns into Simon Majumdar about this. He's like, well, if you're undead, describe the sun, you know, and bright. And is it good enough for me? You climb the ladder. As you're doing it, the Cryptomaster says the Soul Stone has been growing in power, and it wants to go to the surface as well, where there's a bustling city.
Yes.
Also lets us know as we climb higher, our memories will start coming back. Right. And we get our first real chapter, chapter two, the Bone Houses.
Yes. We get up to a level of the underworld that is occupied by rat people. Yeah. There's a customs officer who screens you on your way in, and he says, yeah, no, welcome. You know, this is the Bone Houses, a less selective burial place. Mm-hmm.
There is a little side quest here. It's real weird when these pop up because there aren't very many of them.
Yeah, yeah.
This rat beyond this broken bridge asks us to find his missing son, Ratty, out in mm-hmm. the swamps. He's not in the swamps. There's an area mm-hmm. called the swamps.
Yep.
He's over by the pools. That was mildly frustrating to me, but I also, the levels aren't so big that you're not just going to explore them.
Yeah, I just kind of ran into them.
Yeah. You want to do this because you get a really useful item.
You do, yeah. So you find him and he says, "Hey, I can't come back with you until I get something important that I buried." And he says, "Yeah, I put a marking on the wall. That's how you know where to find it and dig it up." And just while you're exploring, you find like a skull written on the wall with an arrow pointing at the ground. You stand there and you type dig, and it's a fart. He farted in a hole and buried it.
Little shit. Yeah. I hear it. You go back to his dad. His dad's not sure he wants him back, but he gives you a portable cauldron for alchemy. This is the earliest you can get it. You can actually find a cauldron, and there are a few of them stationed around.
Yeah.
Having one around is good.
Yes. Yeah. Just being able to type alchemy instead of needing to go find one is a treat. So we want to go up, and the tallest thing here is this tower where the king of the bone houses lives, this piper. And a guard at the foot of it says, "Hey, you can't enter unless you're royalty." And you can't really ask questions, but you just say royalty. And he says, "Yeah, I know. I figure some crowns would do it."
Yeah, if all four of you were in crowns here. We run into a character named Red Duncan. I don't know if this is in the same place. He hit me when I was skulking.
Yeah.
He took a bunch of my souls and says, "Hey, meet me at the Crooked Eel Inn if you want them back." We're not going to get there until way later.
Yeah.
This is the boss of the card game.
Yes.
But I never got to him because I never beat the tournament. Mm-hmm. The door to the tombs is sealed by an eye who asks like what we're doing here.
Yeah.
As we kind of trying to push us back. And there's a caged rat we talked to on the way named Fink.
Yeah.
Who tries to give us hints. He says, "Hey, the eye's really scared of robbers. So say you're there for robbery." And that's a prank.
Yeah. You say it and the eye's like, "Why would you say that?"
Yeah.
"Why
did you tell you're here for robbery.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're coming here. These are royal tombs. The guard, yes. Just mentioned, just unrelatedly, there are four royal tombs nearby.
Yeah. Go rob them.
Yes.
The actual answer is tribute. Mm-hmm. But he makes us do the card game. So this is our card game tutorial. We had to beat him at whatever, the card game. This is the only time it's mandatory.
Yes.
Which is nice. Mm-hmm. So if you don't like the card game, don't worry about it. If that's making you sweat listening.
Yes. It is not like mandatory Gwent or anything like that. Yeah. So with the password, you can get inside. And there are four little mini dungeons. Some of them have like spike traps and stuff. Like there's not as much of that as you would think in a dungeon crawler, but they are present enough to be considered present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Each of these regents have a little riddle they give you.
Yes.
This is interesting. So Edgar, he says, "What has an eye but cannot see?" The answer is whichever one you didn't pick.
Okay.
So I said needle, and he goes, "No, the answer is potato."
Okay.
So whichever one you don't pick.
That is a very, so I said potato, and he said, "Actually, it's needle." But like, "Actually, no, that counts." That is so smart.
I was so fucking overjoyed at that.
Yeah.
And just having him do it the first time and be like, "Oh, that technically counts," was very happy. But now seeing that it goes both ways is great.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Such a good little trick. Like they almost never have to do that again, actually. Yeah. But like they just kind of like dangle that out there and say, "Oh, this could be happening all the time." Like this is like, "Oh, it's smart enough to handle ambiguity." I love it.
Yeah. Really, really good. Yeah. Talia's tomb has mirrors that we'll see that have letters on them for B, L, O, and D. And then her riddle answer is blood. It gave you the letters in advance.
Yes.
The other riddles are not really noteworthy. You just go get the other crowns. Mm-hmm. When you get them, we can get past that sentry and approach the tower. And we run to a mimic here. Mm-hmm. There's a chest that you can run to that's a mimic. You just have to fight them. It's a mimic like a video game mimic.
Yes. Yeah. I was actually a little bit disappointed by how straightforward it was.
Yeah. It would be cool if it did something with like mimicry, like you had to use homonyms.
Oh, shit.
Or something like that. You know?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Like just use a homonym. Like, so come up with a homonym for every single skill you have.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I wasn't even thinking of that. I was thinking you would present a name. I knew you would be damaged by homonyms, but like, Critmaster too. It's also worth noting there is some limited non-linearity in this, but the game will kind of meat wall you. Mm-hmm. So I ended up doing the stuff with Go-Go the Moist before I did any of this stuff.
Okay.
For mine, which was harder. and yeah, the memories were easier.
Like it straight up tells you, like, there's a guy, like there's an injured rat who says, like, hey, I'm just gathering stuff up again, but make sure you know what you're doing. You know, these slimes are no joke. Like, yeah, you start running into enemies who do two damage with an attack as opposed to one.
The two damage doesn't come for a little bit, I think. The slimes,
yeah, you're right.
When you use a certain, if you use a certain letter, they grow.
Yes.
So their name expands. Mm-hmm. Through that. Yeah. But my point being, you can do this in any order.
Yes.
When you get up to the Piper at the top of the tower, he's not going to see you unless you have written proof of your royalty.
Yes.
So we had to head down to the swamps. And I went to the swamps first because I was trying to find Reddy because they said he was in the swamps.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though he's not.
And you go to a place called the Ancient Toad Palace. And on the way, you run into a knight named Coffin Joe. Mm-hmm. He is a paladin of the goddess Shalia. We've heard her mentioned by Agda. You know, she was a priestess of this life goddess. But he's serving that god. And then the high priest Auto. Yeah. And it's her first fight with armor. The shield being there as a space. And you know, depending, you might not actually have a skill that will take care of this if you come here too early.
You have to do, it's either you do two damage to kill an armor, or you have skills that take care of it. Mm-hmm. So Juro has crack.
Yes,
right here. The Toad Palace is something of a Lost Woods maze. Mm-hmm. The entrance says news only, so you go through in northeast, west, south order. Yep. And once you reach Gogo the Moist, he's the Toad King. He asks you if you killed any toads on your way in. He's like, yes.
Yeah.
He's like, no, that's good. They'll encourage them.
It's motivation.
Yeah, there'll be motivation for them. I love Gogo the Moist.
Yeah.
And he says, in order to give you the certificate of royalty, you had to become his bride.
Collectively,
like the four of you. And before we marry him, we have to mix something up and add to his moisturizer.
Yes.
Mixture. So we can either give him love juice or sleep juice. This mm-hmm. is teaching us how to do the alchemy.
Yes. He says, you know, given his age, reproduction is not a concern for this. So like, it's literally just in name. He just wants you to give him some juice for his moisturizer.
Yeah. He just wants extra, and he wants extra queens.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you go and get the bugs and fish that you need to make those, and Gogo inducts you. Mm-hmm. And you can return to the tower, and you have to say the word behold to present your queen certificate.
You can use this to avoid fights with toads.
Oh, neat.
As well. Yeah. If you do this in front of a toad, that'll end combat and it'll become an NPC toad.
Ooh.
Which is really cute.
Yeah.
You talk to the Piper. He's the king of the rats. He's a human. He says, I'm going to help you up if you help me compose this diss track for the Countess of the Sunken Sea above you. Mm-hmm. This is a little bit cringe.
Yeah.
You know,
it even says that, like the the crypt mentions is, oh, I cringe so hard, my eyes rolled all the way around.
I fucking hate this. And I'm like, yeah man, it's kind of, he's asking you, it's kind of like the rap battle, Jackbox game a little bit.
Yeah.
Where it gives you a setup and you have to add a rhyming word
mm-hmm.
At the end. I know we're like, it's impressive and how reactive it is. It will reject, you know, ones, but it is some fucking chap hop.
Like what? Did you make up chap hop?
No, I did not make up chap. How fucking dare you make up chap hop? No, that's chap hop though. It's kind of pipes and fucking fugal horns over a slow rap beat.
And it's very basic rhyme structures, something something, and here's the last word, something something, fly away you old bird, or something like that.
Flying away you old turd.
So
this allows us to go up to the next chapter here, the Sunken Sea.
Yes,
we come up on this little island, there's nothing on it, and the crypt master gets bored of us walking around and starts says, like, he wants to play I Spy with you. As you go around on this island, he spies something, you have to go find it. Mm-hmm. When you find a bottle, the bottle has an invitation to the town of Pantry. Yes. The crypt master is the one who can teleport you around. We need to know the name of places to send you there.
So we know the name of the town and we can go there. It is so called because it is the countess will feed from them every once in a while.
Yes. The payoff for this joke is very funny. There's a fortune telling skull that'll greet you. You can pay 20 souls to get your fortune read by the skull. This is a clever thing. This can give you a letter if you need it.
Oh, neat.
When you do this, you get to pick a letter of any letter.
Hmm.
So if there's something like, I'm just not, I think this might be what the word scramble is, and I'm just not finding any monsters with this.
Yeah. I've got no cues. Yeah.
Yeah. This is how you could do it. Mm-hmm. She says we need to see the Countess Ulara if we want to go up.
Yes. Yeah. And you can go into the tower. I wanted to go there and see what you wanted before I started exploring. And this is a big decrepit dungeon. She will talk to us through mirrors. She thinks that we're the new servants and we're fighting her guards. We're seeing some new stuff here. Like, mm-hmm. I forget if it was before this or here where you start running into enemies with shields that will block, a given letter. So like you'll see somebody with an O. You're like, oh, I can't use any skill that has an O in it.
Yeah, very difficult and can really, fuck up one member of your party. Mm-hmm. Those are rare in the first area. Now they're more common here.
Yes. Yeah. But there's an altar partway up. And Agda is like, wait a minute. Now that I've seen you this many times, I recognize you. You are some of the people who saved the city in its earliest days. We made the same sacrifice. She was killed in order to keep the horned demon down. She's like, hey, we can't talk this close to the Countess, but when you get closer to the surface, we'll have an actual talk.
Yeah. We get, there is some other new enemies here. There's a butler enemy that drains health when he attacks. There are floating skulls for kind of the opposite of a shield. They can only be damaged by attacks that have a certain letter in them.
Mm-hmm.
For this. When we reach Ulara, she says, before I can help you go up, you need to find 4 books of these lost gods that I'm missing. You're going to find clues to teleport to them in the library.
Right.
And the library is huge.
Yeah.
There are 2 of them and you can just read a bunch of stuff here. Again, mm-hmm. just the amount of text that got read.
Yeah.
Written for this. You can also play the diss track for her, which she does not have a very strong reaction to.
Yeah. She doesn't care. It's like a fucking clown.
But this allows you to teleport to your 4 zones here and get, these little comedy beats and these different kind of boss fights.
Yes.
For these guys.
Yeah. So I just did these from left to right. First one had me kind of, I did like a gulp when I saw what the puzzle was, like what the clue is. It was all in the symbols that you've seen on signs around the town.
Yeah.
The clue was kind of encoded in the symbol cipher. I didn't go around and assemble the alphabet. I'm not going, if it is, I am trying to discern what a language is, that is real cool. But if it's just, here's what A is, I'm less into it. Yeah.
It's that, but I think the reason why this one is better to me than those is that those signs, they haven't been in random spots.
Right.
And it's like a 6-letter sign. So the answer to this is danger. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's a danger sign.
Yeah.
From context. Like I didn't have to get out a piece of paper and pencil. I was like, oh yeah, that's a danger sign. To get to the actual islands for these things as well, there are logic puzzles.
Yes.
It's like, this contains, it's this word, but without this word with none of this, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you get here, so we get to this pane, this island of brimstone, this password is the cipher. And this is a place where people are tested for combat.
Right.
Here. His temple is entirely boulder traps and combat trials.
Yes. And he looks like a Sauron, and he's talking about I don't really go for the direct worship thing anymore. I literally just want to test you. Those boulder traps will really fuck you up too. They'll instantly kill one of your party members. Yeah. Yeah.
Big deal. The way these boss fights work is you get to the end and you can't hurt them. They're gods. You try skills on them to do the word scramble.
Yes.
And you're trying to find what their true aspect is. And the cool thing about this is there have been kind of hints through this a little bit, like the way the characters act.
Mm-hmm.
As you go through.
So he is the god of atheism, which is funny.
Yeah. Yeah. And he talks about he doesn't do worship anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next one is Klaxo on the island of Claptrap. He's a little gremlin, goofy guy. Here.
Little trickster. Yeah.
Little trickster guy. He has a little thing here. He says, which one is lying, this fish statue or this chicken statue? Where they say paradoxes. It's kind of like a play on the, if this one lied, this one would tell the truth.
Yes.
That kind of thing. Except they're not mutually exclusive. The answer is neither of them is lying.
Yeah, because yeah. they're saying paradoxes that can be true and false at the same time, and they're both doing it. So the answer is like, oh, it's neither fish nor fowl. I was annoyed at this because neither wasn't an answer. The only answer you can say is you, because Klaxo is the one who said one of them is lying, and that is a lie.
Yeah, neither should have been an acceptable answer.
Yes,
for that. The second trial is a set of mazes. One exit takes you back to the beginning. This just goes on forever. This isn't very good.
Yeah.
Once you get to the end of him, he is the god of nuisance. Makes sense. He's been annoying you the whole time.
Mm-hmm. On the Isle of Shame, you find Loria. The password is just a list of rules that you have to follow that eventually spell out the word shame. And the outside of her island is like this big rope line. So you have to walk the big zigzag. And all of the enemies are named after numbers, like they're other petitioners.
Yes. Yeah. She is the god of bureaucracy. And then Iss is the final one on the island of Rumpus. Mm-hmm. And Iss is a Medusa. And she warns you not to hiss at her snakes. And that means when you hit S, a snake just gets summoned into your face.
Yeah.
Thrown into your face, House of a Thousand Snakes style.
Uh-huh. And it does damage to you.
Yeah.
So
you just can't say S.
Yeah.
While you're there. It's tricky.
Uh-huh. And she's flattering you, you know, the whole time and kind of being a little bit of a tease. And her aspect, she is the goddess of flirtation.
Yeah. There are S's that they put in here for like chests.
Yes.
Like when you run into a chest, sometimes it's a chest, sometimes it's a container. It'll have a different word. Uh-huh. But they do make you say like, hey, you're going to get snaked if you want to get into this thing.
Yes.
Once you bring this to Alara, she's pleased. You know, these rogue forgotten gods are under her thumb. She fulfills her promise and says, like, the way up is through my observatory. You know, the stairs are broken, but you can warp there. If you go in the back way of this, did you find her larder? Like her fucking infinite larder with every classification of person?
Yep. All of the barrels. Yeah.
Yeah. Just barrels named, like, there's just a room and it's like, this is the Viscount barrel.
Uh-huh.
This is the party clown barrel. The actuary barrel.
And commoners next to uncommoners.
Uncommoners. Like it goes on forever. It's huge. Like there's so much space. There's no enemies here.
Yep.
You can just walk around and see all the different people that she eats.
Yeah.
That's really cute.
They're like, there's no like side quest. Like this is actually pretty direct. You can go into the sea caves around. It's just giving you two different ways to get up the tower.
Yeah.
Essentially. And it's the back one through the sea caves that gives you the winer cellar. Yeah.
I'm assuming that something with the library plays into the ARG.
Yeah.
Because there's just a lot of text there, but I didn't do that.
There are also things that like alluded to stuff that was in development. Like I read something about like one of the zones was going to be a zone of vampires, and like the V entry like mentions that and talks about like the guy who would have led it.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On our way up, the Cryptmaster says, you know, next time we break Sheila's seal and we're going to bring the whole underworld up with us. The idea is we're basically starting a revolution.
Yes.
There.
Yeah. And we climb up to the Downwood. I thought this was incredibly short, as it is. This was even shorter. It was kind of criticized for being, you know, basically nothing compared to the previous two. And the next chapter is just a boss fight, really.
Yeah.
So more was added to it.
Yeah. So we start off with a man named Orthos the Spellmaster. Here. He's covered in pages. He's wearing pages as clothes. He's been exiled here. He will help us convince the Idor that we're a paladin.
Mm-hmm.
But first he asks for our names. And we tell him our names. He's really excited.
Yeah.
And he's like, Otto will be happy to see his old comrades in arms again. Mm-hmm. You know, we may have noticed, like, there's one character class we're missing.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have a priest.
Uh-huh. You know,
the person who was part of our adventuring party has survived. It's this Otto person who is kind of running the overland.
Yeah. You find fragments, like pages that are floating around that will give you some of the backstory about this.
Yes.
And Otto is mentioned frequently in relation to you specifically. Yeah, you know, we've heard about Otto from those paladins who are coming after us.
Yeah. So he gives you one paladin helmet. We're going to need to find three more through this. When we talk to Agda, at this point, Agda is able to block out the Cryptmaster to talk with us. Shades of like the Emperor blocking off Raphael, you know, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And says that, or vice versa, says that at the next shrine, you know, she knows that we have this evil presence with us. You know, you are four of these five heroes. I sacrifice myself for the greater power to seal, you know, to do the seal that Otto did. Otto, if you let Otto know, Otto can destroy the Cryptmaster.
Yes.
And you can undo this. You can be heroes again.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. You can stop the invasion of the city that you had previously, you know, stop the invasion of, stop being used by this guy. Yeah. You can buy a helmet from a vendor here. Mm-hmm. One of the other big ticket items that you could get back in Pantry was a healing potion recipe. Grave juice.
Which would have been handy, but I never bought it because it was expensive.
It was very costly. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't want to grind. I don't grind. Mm-hmm. You win another helmet from the Crooked Eel Inn. This is where you have to do really well at that card game to do the bandit quest. I also didn't do that.
Yeah. The first guy is a paladin. You beat him and he gives you his helmet. Yeah.
The ARG clue is written on the side of the inn, if you're that kind of sicko. And this is surrounded by gravestones that are cryptic crosswords. You have to guess how somebody died, and it gives you the, you know, mixed up money style thing.
Yeah. Like, you know, Eli, old man. Stuff like that. Yeah.
It's a real different way of thinking. Like, I think part of the reason why I've stayed away from them is that it feels like it's just extra steps.
Yeah.
To doing a thing. Every once in a while, they're pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
I've done ones that are good, but a lot of times if it's just like, oh, I have to unscramble this. I now know the language. This is telling me to unscramble it. Mm-hmm. It's just like an order of operations.
Yeah.
You know, this is telling me it's an anagram. It's like, okay, well, you know, now I know. Just fuck.
I don't do them because things that make me feel stupid make me violent.
Yeah. And then you get the chair.
I'll smash you so good.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Sorry. And then you get the chair. Sorry. It took me a second to catch that.
Smash him up.
Yep.
Get the chair for smashing. The last helmet is on a body in the mines. I just kind of walk around and do combat for this.
Yeah.
We need all the helmets. We can go to the gates. And the gates ask what squad you're on to get in. And you don't have an answer, you get locked up. I love this little bit. This is surrounded by paladins here. I thought I was going to have to fight them. You don't have to fight them. When you walk by them, they say Shala blesses you and does one damage to every party member.
It's so cute.
You just have to stay away from them. Yeah.
I didn't notice that. I thought they were just kind of like hitting me as I passed by. I only noticed that it was because of the blessing when the guy lets you out.
Yeah.
Because you get sent to a cage because, you know, you didn't say the right answer. You don't know that he's looking for a number, right? So it's like, oh yeah, just, you know, just you're, so you're telling me that you know you're this squad out of the six. You know, it's nothing. So you call for a guard when you're in the cage, and he's extremely lenient. He's like, oh, I like Shalya and stuff, but I'm not like all about it.
Yeah. No, pencils have erasers.
Yeah. And he opens it and it says, go with Shalya's blessing. And that's when you take the damage. And I was like, oh, that is very cute.
It's cute. Yeah. You return to the gate, you know, you say you're in the squad, as long as it's less than six, this works. Mm-hmm. And you have to give him a password. We don't know the password.
No.
This is a thing where it's like the book gods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we use our skills. We're not going to hurt this thing, but we are going to get new letters.
Yeah. Here. It gave me a word I've never seen before.
Yeah. This is tough because it's a, you know, a tricky word. Mm-hmm. It's not. And there haven't been hints on the way up to it or anything like that. So like, this is whether you can tank the damage.
Yes. Yeah. It'll be a different word, but like mine was Epsteinius. I'm like, yeah. There was no way for me to know that was a B there.
No. No clue. The Cryptmaster is nervous as we have the letter going through the seal. Here's what I was surprised. Like, this is barely a level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was not expecting the game to end at this point. I sent you a message like, hey, just so you know, you're on a greased rail once you get past chapter four.
Yeah. If you're basically a greased rail once you're past chapter three, really.
Yeah, like, basically.
Yeah. But yeah, you get up like you're on the surface. You step out into the sun's rays. And there's an altar at the front where you can talk to Agda. You know, she, sends the Cryptmaster away and says, you know, you need to repeat your sacrifice. You need to stay dead, in order to stop the world from ending. This means giving the soul stone to Otto when you get there.
Yeah. And there's a little bit of world building here that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This level is full of paladins. They hit really hard. They have armor. Yeah. Typically, I'm not really interested in fighting them, so I'm not doing it. I'm not trying to get words at this point. But the way the surface works is that there are these big propaganda record players, like Wax Cylinder.
Yeah.
Players playing for everyone. And it sounds pretty bleak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the game is, it's not, intense or detailed world building, but it's playing a little bit in the, paradise isn't paradise.
Yes.
Kind of space.
It is an illusion of prosperity and safety that is only gotten at by extreme restriction. Brought forward by this kind of genial sounding old man.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we meet him. We eventually make our way through. I avoided all the paladins. We meet Otto. Otto is very decrepit. Mm-hmm. He says, hey, you're going to repeat your sacrifice to keep the seal intact and keep the Horned King down.
Yeah. I was very happy that when I saw him, I called the twist. I was like, I recognize that fool. Yeah. it's like, if you're up here to stop me, I'm going to stop you. He plays to Shalya for vitality and starts this fight. His name is really long. He has two little armor bits inside and he heals himself each time he hits you. So like I just had to keep him down essentially. Did everything I could to jostle him, to have him knocked over.
Yeah. One of the attacks. Jostle. Yeah. this idea of turn denial, which is kind of in a mini version. Very tough. There, if it doesn't come through, the reason why he's tough is because he has two spaces in his name.
Yes.
Auto shield, the shield pure.
Mm-hmm. The shield.
This took Michael me a couple tries as well. I died to Auto a couple times. And I also ran out of souls the first time I fought him.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, that's no good. You want to have like around 200 going into this.
Did you just have to go bug hunting?
Yeah. Because when you're out of souls, all you can do is zap, jab, and,
Go play the card game. Like you go back and play some easy people, get 50, 60 at a time, maybe.
Yeah. Look for riddles I might have missed.
Yeah.
Once he's defeated, he notices that you're holding the soulstone amulet and he recognizes it.
Yeah. He laughs.
he's like, is he going to speak? And the crypt master identifies himself. And there's our twist.
They're
the same guy.
Yeah. The soulstone once belonged to Auto. When the Horned King attacked, he made a deal. His soul was sealed away inside the amulet, and that separation granted him eternal life, and Shalya gave him the power that he needed to keep evil away forever.
Yes. I live forever so nobody else will have to. Like, it's a sacrifice. My sacrifice has been greater than any of yours. Mm-hmm. And the Cryptmaster and Auto argue in, like, a real catty way.
Yes.
Here. And then we get our options here, our ending Tron 3000, our kill, smash, or no.
Yeah. You're only presented with kill or smash. The no is secret.
Yeah.
I just typed it because I just wanted to see if I could refuse.
Yeah. I was certainly going to kill. I'm not going to not have an undead uprising.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
In a game. Mm-hmm. This guy's got to go. The undead get to pour forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you kill him, the narrator calls it a curiously delayed suicide.
I like that a lot. And it's like, technically correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Gotta give it to you. Yeah. and the undead pour forth from the underground. And it's the narrator says, with the city lost in life expectancy and sanitation, it gained in variety and brio. It's not like terrible. It's just disorderly.
Yeah. And to live up there now. Mm-hmm. If you destroy the soul stone, the dead stay sealed below. And the four heroes are given a place of honor to rest.
Yeah.
Free of the crypt master, our friend.
You're class traitors. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you say no, we get to see the uneasy alliance between the two of them.
Yeah.
The seal stays in place, but with limited, if you start a small business in a disenfranchised community, you can go through the seal.
Basically what they said is racial quotas for crossing the border.
Yep. Yep. the living decided the dead weren't so bad. The dead decided they preferred the gloom mostly.
It's real lib. It's real libbed out.
It's real libbed out, and it mapping onto any politics. Like, they just like living in their own area.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. And then that's Cryptmaster. It's over. It's a rare game that I wish there was more to it. Not necessarily, I don't want to just grind the card game or what have you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad it's short. It's more, I am looking forward to a Cryptmaster 2 if it happens.
Yeah. I don't know if they can justify it, but I really hope that I see something. I hope either we get that or this inspires something, or they do like a spiritual follow-up.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Or something else that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this would not work at a real length.
No, you know, God, no.
Weird to contrast this with Silent Hill 2, like going for different things. And even the Silent Hill 2 remake is a better game than this because it has Silent Hill 2 in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's hitting emotions and stuff.
Yeah.
In a way. But in terms of contrasting games, like how long does something have to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, should it be, does the length match its need?
Yes.
This is a real contrast for that, I think.
Agreed. Yeah. This is super interesting, and I really can't put into words how adorable it is.
Yeah.
I was just kind of grinning the whole time as I was playing this. Not like laughing out loud. There are a few moments of that, but this is just that, like, this is charming, non-derogatory.
It's very charming, non-derogatory. It makes me wish that this took off with a bigger audience.
Yeah.
So when I go to a PRGE this weekend, I could get a little Cryptmaster pin or a little tiny Cryptmaster plush to yell at me. Yeah.
Oh, God. That would be so good.
Really good. I don't think we'll see it, though.
Probably not.
Rip. Hopefully, if you're hearing this, check this out if it sounds like your shit.
Yes, please. Because even though we talked about everything and talked vaguely what's in here, like we didn't give any
riddles.
Yeah, didn't give riddle solutions, really.
Yeah, if you like riddles and stuff, you'll like this.
Yeah.
If you're listening to the show and you're any kind of minority person and you have a project or product that you'd like us to shout out, please send me an email at gary@duckfeed.tv. This episode, I want to shout out an Etsy shop from Hua Studios. So if you go on Etsy and you search for Hua, H-W-A Studios, I was told it's spelled phonetically, and it's H-W-A. So I think it's Hua. If I'm mispronouncing that, I apologize.
Okay.
But Hua Studios, and they do pet portraits, handmade pet portraits.
Oh.
And they're cute. Custom pet portraits on acrylic.
I am not finding them, but it is definitely a cute idea. I can imagine a pet portrait being very cute.
Yeah, let me make sure if I put it in HWA Studios into there. The website is etsy.com/shop/HWA Studios.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're looking for something for the holiday season, custom art.
Oh, these are the very cute. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Custom art, definitely.
Yeah. Like this is, if you have a significant other, getting them something that doesn't exist until you get it is the way you give a good gift.
Yeah. Oh, there's an option here to do hand-painted, like, royal pet portraits.
Mm-hmm.
There is a cat that is just completely festooned. There's epaulets. There's medals.
Mm-hmm.
Has one of those, like, high golden collars that royals sometimes wear.
Yeah, pretty fun.
Yeah.
So check that out.
Hua Studios.
Yeah. What else can they do?
You can write in. It is too late to write in about Cryptmaster or any of the other games, but you can write in about November's games. The deadline is November the 15th, and you go to duckfeed.tv/contact to write in about any of these three games, Monster Train 2, Unpacking, or our premium episode for that month, Hitman Blood Money.
Yeah. Our Hitman Blood Money is premium. Our episode next week on Fear is premium.
You mean First Encounter Assault Recon?
I certainly do.
Okay.
The First Encounter?
Mm.
Yes. What is Third Encounter Assault Recon? Tier. You're not really doing recon on the Third Encounter.
No.
So those are premium. Everybody gets the generalities, and our patrons at $5 and up get the full episode.
Yes.
And you get all the backlogs of those, and we think they're good. Some of our best episodes are in there. We think it is worth the money.
Yes. Whole other bonus shows too. We do a whole network of stuff.
Yeah. If you're hearing this, this is after Portland Retro Gaming Expo. If you came out and said hi.
This is the day before.
Oh,
this
you're is, right.
Yeah, because we ended up getting behind a little bit.
Yeah, we got behind. If you're hearing this, come to the Portland Retro Gaming Expo.
Say hi. We put up the details on Patreon. We posted about that, about our panels. We're going to be on a Retronauts panel on Saturday. We're going to have our meetup at Quarter World on Saturday night. And on Sunday, we have our panel about 7 out of 10 games, the best and worst 7 out of 10 games.
And we usually say, if you're in the Pacific Northwest, come. I'm going to broaden that and say, if you're anywhere in the world, come.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. You got a day.
Mm-hmm. You can make this happen if you want to. Like, if you actually like us as much as you
say you
do.
If you want to. You can also leave us, you can join that Patreon, as we mentioned. You can leave us ratings or reviews on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, anywhere you get podcast. You can leave comments. That's really useful. You can subscribe.
Yeah.
That's very useful. And join us in thanking our producer, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah.
Who will be at Fest next weekend, I think.
Yes. Agreed. Mm-hmm. That also matches my memory. I guess that's not really agreed.
No.
I think so. I think you're right.
Corroborated.
Until next time, what should they watch out for?
Until next time, watch out for skulking.